Hello everybody and welcome to the first episode of Final Cut, the movie podcast. I am your host. This is Dilly. Follow me on Instagram, TikTok, everywhere at This Is Dilly. And today is episode one. It's the pilot episode, if you will. Every good TV show has a pilot. Every good podcast should have a pilot. So this is it. Do I know what I'm doing this week whatsoever? Probably not. I have a couple ideas, but we're here for the long run, folks. So, if you're new to the podcast, which you are, every week I'm going to sit down, I'm going to talk about movies. I'm going to talk about new movies, old movies, you name it. Everywhere in between, I'm going to talk about actors, genres, years. I'm going to talk about everything involving the best media outlet out there, which is film. So, today we have a couple segments we're going to run down. We're going to run down what's coming up soon in the movie world, movies that have been announced, movies that are coming out that haven't quite reached the silver screens yet. We're going to be talking about a DVD. We're going to be doing a DVD review in 2023, because why the hell not? We are in the channel Retropolis, after all. And in the main event, we are going to be talking about the SAG-AFTRA strike. It's been pretty relevant, pretty big recently. It's ongoing. It's been going for a couple months now. It's a big deal, so we're going to be talking about that in the main event of the evening. But let's start out in the first segment. I just shook my entire camera, desk, everything. I shook everything right then and there. We are doing the coming soon segment, very first, to start off the show, and we're only going to talk about one movie a week on the coming soon, because there's a lot coming out at once, maybe not at once, a lot's been announced, a lot's coming out that I'm really excited for, so we're just going to be talking about one movie specifically each week. So this week's movie of choice is going to be Wonka, starring Timothy, I always call him Chalamet, but I found out recently that it's not Chalamet, it's like Chalamet? I'm confused about that. I'm pulling up the Wikipedia here. So it's Timothy Chalamet. Chalamet. I thought it was Chalamet. I don't know why I thought that. I hate Timothy Chalamet. We're just going to start it off like that. I am not a Timothy Chalamet fan. Chalamet, Chalamet, Swiss Chalet. I don't care. I don't like him. I haven't seen anything he's been in, but I can already tell that I fucking hate him so much. Let me go to his, not discography, but what he's been in. I know he was in Dune. I never watched Dune. He was in Beautiful Boy. Was he Steve Carell's kid in Beautiful Boy, I wonder? Probably was. He has second billing, so I mean, that has to be him. Yeah, he was Nick. Oh, okay. He's Steve Carell's kid. I was going to call him Nicolas Cage's kid, because me and my girlfriend have this on-running joke. I suppose I should probably call her my fiancé. We have an on-running joke about... She once said... we were watching, I think it was The Office one time. And she was like, oh man, Nick Cage. Like, no, that's not Nick Cage. That was like 3 years ago, and we still joke about it. Anyway, that's just the longest running joke of our relationship. Timothy Swiss Chalet. I'm just going to call him that from now on. Timothy Swiss Chalet. He was in Beautiful Boy with Steve Carell as his dad. I never watched that movie. I know there was a scene where Nirvana was in it, and that always interested me, but I still never watched it. He was in Interstellar, which I might have watched like once around the time it came out. Don't remember much about it. I know there's an Interstellar meme with like Matthew McConaughey. He was in Don't Look Up. I don't really remember him or his character in that movie. He might have been good in that. I think I went to the... No, I didn't go to theaters to see it. That was a Netflix movie. I definitely watched it. I remember watching it. Never watched Dune. Don't know if I said that yet, but I have not watched Dune. I'm not interested in Dune. I don't like science fiction that much. I mean, some of it's fine, but Dune is not it. So that's really all that I can see that he's really been in that I would have known. Haven't watched anything he's been in, really. Or I don't remember him being in anything that I've watched. Not a huge Timothy Chalamet fan. I keep calling him Chalamet or Chalamet. It's with Chalet. I'll never learn his name. I hate him. He looks like a douchebag. He looks like a douchebag. What was that thing he was in where it was like a big romance? Bones and All. producer. He produced a movie. How old is this dude? He's like 26, ain't he? 27. He's 27. Don't care. Don't like him. His family is famous from the looks of it. His uncle was a actor, writer, and producer, and director. What did he do? Who'd he ever beat, huh? Oh, he directed Leprechaun 2. Huh. It comes full circle. Idle Hands. Ooh, Idle Hands was actually dope. I can't fuck with that. That's a good one. He has credits for The Office, Ugly Betty. This is Timothy Chalamet, or Chalamet's father. Or not even his father. It's his fucking, his uncle. That's what he did. I like more of what his uncle's done than what Timothy himself has done. Anyway, I hate him. I'm just going to keep saying that over and over again. I'm not a fan of Timothy Chalamet. But let's get back to Wonka. He is the new Willy Wonka. Now, as soon as I heard this, I was pissed off. Not even just because it's Timothy Swiss Chalet. It's just, why are they rebooting Willy Wonka again? Like, you had the original Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory, 1971, Gene Wilder. That was perfect. You're not ever going to get a better Willy Wonka movie than that. 2005, you have Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, which personally is my favorite. It's not the best. Like, I can understand that the original is definitely the better movie, in my opinion. But, like, I can distinguish what is good and what is my favorite. Both are good, don't get me wrong. But I can definitely confirm, in my opinion, that Willy Wonka and the Chocolate Factory from 71 might be the better movie. I just prefer the 2005 one. It's just my favorite. I like watching it. It's mostly a nostalgia thing, because I remember when I was a kid, I had the DVD. This is not a spoiler for the upcoming DVD segment, I promise. Had the DVD, always watched it. Johnny Depp's amazing. I will never not love Johnny Depp. He is one of my favorite people on this planet. It was a great movie. I loved the 2005 version. The 71 version's great too. Like, it's so different. It's a lot more dark. Well, I wouldn't say more dark necessarily than the 2005 one, because 2005 one can get kind of dark. But it's a lot more serious overtones, I guess. Like, the way Wonka is in that movie, like, he can just kind of turn on a dime. You could tell he really didn't care about those kids. That's the best part, in my opinion. He didn't even care about Charlie for a bit, and then he did. With Johnny Depp's Wonka, he was more or less sarcastic. You could tell his upbringing, like, there's a whole big subplot about his upbringing in that one, which I think almost brings that movie down a bit. Like, I know Tim Burton is a genius. I love his work. I can't take away from his work whatsoever. I get why he brought in the whole upbringing thing. Like, it adds to the Wonka character. I don't know. It's not my favorite thing. If that movie didn't have that, maybe I'd look at it a little bit better. But that's just probably the worst part about that movie, in my opinion. The best part, of course, being Grandpa Joe. Yippee! I love that old bastard. Okay, before we continue talking about the new Wonka, I'm going to look up Charlie and the Chocolate Factory right quick. Did the old fucker die? Grandpa Joe, where you at, bro? Grandpa Joe. No, not him. David Kelly. David Kelly. Oh, he's dead. Man, that's upsetting. Grandpa Joe is dead. R.I.P. fella. How old was he? He died in 2012, and he was born in 1929. He was 82 years old. My God. I love that man. He retired in 2009, started acting in 1947, born in Ireland, died in Ireland. My God, this man. I gotta do a fucking deep dive on him someday. That day is not today. We're gonna keep talking about Timothy Chalamet. Hey, look at me go. Chalamet. Chalamet and roses. Anyway, so let's talk about Wonka. Back to Wonka. So, the Wilder movie, 71, the original, amazing. The Depp movie, amazing. Why redo it? Why have another one? I get it, you have this brand. You want to keep it living. But, like, why? Why not just, like, hey, watch the old Charlie and the Chocolate Factory? Like, advertise it. Put it out there. Like, hey, guys, it's on Netflix. Go and watch it. Get us money that way. No, let's just go and make another one. I don't get movies. I don't get movie companies. I think it's Warner Brothers that makes these ones. I literally have the... We're just going to do a little spoiler. The DVD I'm talking about today is the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory one. I'm just trying to figure out who the fuck... It is Warner Brothers. Okay. I don't get production companies. I don't get why every couple years they have to, like, reboot something. And I get it. It kind of has been a while since the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory movie got made in 05. I was, like, a kid, and I don't want to admit that it was, like, a long time ago. But let's look at it like this. The original movie came out in 1971. Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, the Johnny Depp one, came out in 2005. That's a 34-year age gap. That's a lot of years in between. From 2005 to 2023 doesn't feel like it's that long. And it's not 34 years long. It's been like 18 years. Or am I doing the math wrong on that? So 5, yeah, that makes 10, and 10, and 3, and yeah, it's 18. I'm done. I'm not dumb. I knew I was right. It's just I needed to check. So, first one, there's like 34 years. Second one, there's like 18 years. It's been long enough that I guess a reboot could be considered. I just don't think it's a good idea. I don't like what they're doing with it. I don't like the look of it. I don't like the trailer's out. We're going to be watching that puppy, but I don't like the idea of remastering, not remastering. I love the idea of remastering. I hate the idea of redoing something just for the sake of it. Just, hey, let's make a second one. Like, why bother? There's no point. Anyway, I guess you're introducing new audiences to it, and I don't know. I want to fight it, but, like, I'm trying to be as non-skeptical as possible. I'm just having a very tough time doing so. Also, it lists it on Wikipedia as an upcoming musical film. So, I know the original had a bit of musical elements to it. The Johnny Depp version had, like, zero, excluding the Oompa Loompas. I don't know what they're going to do in terms of musical films, but we'll see. So the movie's coming out on December 15th, 2023, Warner Brothers Pictures, as mentioned. So here's the premise, based on Wikipedia. There's not much information on this film at all right now. So the story of how Willy Wonka went from a young adult selling chocolate in a small candy store to an eccentric genius known all the world over. So his backstory has changed. I don't entirely recall his entire backstory in the previous films. I don't think he ever started off in a small store. He might have. I don't know. Seems a little bit different. So apparently, in 2016, Warner Bros. Acquired the rights to the character Willy Wonka. But they made this in 2005. How did... What? I don't understand that. So, they had a list of actors they wanted to play Willy Wonka. This is interesting. I'm just seeing this for the first time. So, the same year, 2016, that they got the rights to Willy Wonka, with a film in development from producers. Okay, so in 2016, they were going to develop the film. They knew they were going to do it. In 2018, it was announced that Paul King was going to direct. In 2018, they had a short list of actors to star as Willy Wonka. So they were looking at Donald Glover, Childish Gambino. Honestly, I would have been okay with that. That would have been fucking dope. Ryan Gosling was an option. I think he's too old now. I'm going to talk about this probably in a minute if I don't forget. I'm just going to talk about it now. Fuck it. I don't like that the actors that I grew up with or that have been relevant for some time, like, I don't like the idea that people get old. I don't like the idea, like, I just watched Barbie for the first time, like, today. Ryan Gosling looks old as shit. He is wrinkly and shit. Like, why? Why does this happen? Why do people have to age? He's not old. Like, Ryan Gosling is literally 42. He's, like, kind of old, but not really. He has two kids. He's married to Eva Mendes. That's cool. He was in the Mickey Mouse Club. God damn, Goosebumps! Dude! I knew he was in fucking Edward Scissorhands. He was like a kid sliding on a slide, a slip and slide. But anyway, back to Wonka. So the shortlist included Donald Glover, Ryan Gosling, and Ezra Miller as people they wanted to play Wonka. Okay, so they cast Timothy Chalamet, who is just Ezra Miller light, and that's saying something because Ezra Miller is Ezra Miller. He got canceled big time. He is kind of a fucking dickhead. I don't know how they ended up putting Flash out after everything came out about him, but they did it. I hate Ezra Miller. We're not even going to talk about him. He doesn't deserve my time of day. But those are the people they were thinking of having play Wonka. This film is going to be a prequel to the 90s or to the 71 film. So it's a prequel to the original movie. Okay. That makes sense. The original movie starts off with Wonka, like, retiring or whatever. Like, he's giving his factory away. So it's going to be completely different. Apparently, Tom Holland was also front runner for the role before Chalamet was cast. I would have liked to see Tom Holland there instead. I would have liked to see, like, anybody there. Fucking Childish Gambino would have been a great choice, honestly. Like, I can just see that now. Like, I'm not huge into, like, changing a character's race. I'm not super into that. It happens a lot nowadays. I normally complain about it. Honestly, if they announced that Donald Glover would be Willy Wonka, I wouldn't complain. I love him so much. It's not even about, like, I hate certain people. It's just, like a certain, like, the Halle Bailey's? I remember I hate the bitch that played Little Mermaid. I don't hate her specifically. I hate the fact that they blackwashed Little Mermaid. I would have probably hated the fact that they blackwashed Wonka. But, like, I probably would have accepted it after a while because, you know, it's Childish Gambino. Like, he's just great. Anyway, off that subject. Let's talk about how the Oompa Loompa... It's played by Hugh Grant. Don't know what they're doing here. The Oompa Loompas have been difficult, honestly. In the original Willy Wonka movie, the Oompa Loompas were just played by midgets. They were just played by dwarfs. That was fine. I know I just said midget, and that's like a curse word. No one cares. No one cares if you say midget. I love midgets. They're funny and they're great. And, like, every midget I've ever met, I loved. It's not a hateful word. If there were any... Okay. We're just going off on so many tangents before we can get to the trailer of Wonka. If there was ever a short person, a little person, who came up to me and said, "Hey, man, don't call me a midget," I wouldn't call them a midget. But here's the thing. Calling someone a dwarf is honestly, I feel, more offensive than calling them a midget. Maybe. It seems like it is. Little person. That just sounds rude. You're calling someone little. You don't call them that. Anyway, we're not going to do the whole midget talk. I'm just trying to get myself canceled. I'm talking about blackwashing, talking about midgets. I gotta stop. Anyway. Let's just get to the fucking trailer. I've been looking at this Wikipedia. I don't give a fuck. It's not that I don't give a fuck. I do give a fuck. It's just I want to watch the trailer, so I'm going to put these bad boys in my ear holes. If you're listening to this audibly. Yeah, if you're listening to this audibly, you don't know what I'm talking about, but I'm putting earbuds in my ear holes. And I am going to watch the Wonka trailer. Let's go. Here we go. I've spent the past 7 years traveling the world. There's a boat. He's on top of the boat. You see, I'm something of a magician, inventor, and chocolate maker. So quiet up and listen down. Nope, scratch that. Reverse it. He had to do that. What are you doing? I'm making chocolate, of course. How do you like it? Dark, white, nutty, absolutely insane. Many people have come here to sell chocolate. They've all been crushed.
by the Chocolate Cartel.
You can't chocolate cartel? Selling chocolate,
and you can't sell chocolate without a shop.
No daydreaming.
What are we gonna do, Willie?
Huh? I hate him. I hate his face. Producer of Harry Potter. The fuck? Mr. Bean's there. That's cool. They're floating. Chocolate makes them fly. Okay, Key's there. Or is that Peel? I think it's Key. Is that Key or Peel? I don't know the difference. There's a fucking giraffe?
Every good thing in this world started.
There's balloons and they're flying around, and who's this little girl with him? Maybe Ezra Miller would have played a good Wonka. His experience with children. Cotton candy. Okay. Okay. That's a problem. Please stop. Okay, that's a problem. That's a problem. Okay. And I don't know if people have been talking about this, but they need to be. They put a regular, like a full-size man's head on a midget CGI body. Why? You're gonna use dwarfs, like you're gonna make the Oompa Loompas dwarfs. You know how many dwarf actors there are out there that don't get roles because, you know, they're dwarfs? What the fuck? That's kind of shitty. They just put fucking Hugh Grant's head on them and are like, yeah, have fun. You're short now. CGI will do the rest. Man, I fucking hate that. That trailer just wasn't good. That doesn't seem like it's gonna be a good movie. Aesthetically, I don't give a fuck. It's like, just what I imagine London is. Like, it's just, it's not good. It doesn't look like it's gonna be a good movie. Like, and there's nothing being said about it. There's no information other than the story of how Willy Wonka went from a young adult selling chocolate in a small candy store to an eccentric genius known all over the world. That's bullshit. This doesn't look like it's going to be good. I'm a little disappointed. Not even a little. Oh, there is criticism of people that are dwarfs. Okay. Hold on. The following year at the convention, which also saw the first look at Grant as an Oompa Loompa, which caused criticism from actors with dwarfism, including Jason Acuna, Wee Man, who remarked, "So I guess Hugh Grant, now you're identifying as a little person." Yeah. Okay. Yeah, that's not cool. I don't like that. I'm not a fan. You can't just do that. You can't just put a full-grown human head on a little person body. That's rude. You could have just casted a midget or a dwarf. I'm not trying to offend. I love dwarfs. I'm not trying to offend by saying midget. I just don't understand how midget's a bad word. Anyway, that's Wonka. I don't think it's going to be very good. I will watch it when it comes out. I don't think it's going to be very good. I will not go to see it in the theaters. I will wait until the home release and I will do the grrr, the arr thing. Not the grrr. Pirates don't say grrr. Pirates say arr with their little hook hands. Anyway, not good. Not a fan. Not gonna be a good movie. That's okay. I don't know, like, how you go so wrong. Like, it's from the producer of Harry Potter or the director of Harry Potter, one of the two. I can see that. It just seems like a Harry Potter Willy Wonka. Why did you have to do that? Don't make Willy Wonka fucking magical. He makes crazy candy. It shouldn't be magical candy. It's not what it is. It's just outlandish. It's not wizardry. He doesn't have a fucking wand. He has a cane. It's different. Anyway, we're on to the digital video detail of the week. The DVD segment, and we are talking about the Charlie and the Chocolate Factory DVD. I swear to God, the main event is not about Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, but this is. This fucking DVD is the same one I had when I was a kid. I will never let go of it. It is my favorite thing in the world. It has been through so much. It is the fucking full screen edition, which is essentially meaning it's not good resolution. DVD resolutions aren't very good anyway. Do they list specs on here? Like, I don't think people really cared about that back then. Color, 115 minutes. Not authorized for rental outside the USA and Canada. Weird. Links Tim Burton's website and Warner Video's website. If you haven't seen Charlie and the Chocolate Factory, I'm sure it's on Netflix. Probably. I don't watch things on Netflix, really. I have it, but I don't really use it much. But this is a gold standard in 2000s kids movies that aren't, like, ridiculous, like... kids movies? I don't know. Like, I can still watch this now, and I do. I watch it at least once a year, and it's a great experience every time I watch it. It's so good. It has I am a surgeon. That's Freddie Highmore. That's surgeon guy. This movie was great. So for the digital video detail segment of the week, I'm going to talk about the DVD specifically as well, not just the movie. This DVD, I haven't played it in a while because it's 2023, but I was gonna put it in my computer, and then I realized I upgraded computers a few months ago, like I would say maybe 2-3 months ago, and my current computer doesn't have a disk drive. My last one did. I don't feel like many of them do anymore because disks are so outdated. Like, you just can't. Like, everything's going completely digital now, so I couldn't even put this in my fucking computer to rip it, which is not... I don't do that anyway. I don't rip, I don't pirate, I don't do nothing. I'm a good boy. But I couldn't rip it, but I remember very clearly what is on this DVD. So you go to the menu, and you got the factory. It's like the factory with the Oompa Loompas going around. And for every scene selection, it scared the shit out of me when I was a kid. Say you clicked, like, bonus features, right? It would do, like, a little, like, a transition where a Oompa Loompa would pour a bucket of goop over your face. Like, you're, like, down here, and an Oompa Loompa's, like, up here. And that pour liquid on your face. And then it transitions into, like, the menu screen. Spooky as shit, because it's so quiet. The menu just has, like, the... like, factory sounds. Peak factory sounds, that was. But that's, like, what the menu's like in this. I don't have video footage of it, because, like I said, I can't access it. I need to figure out how to do that in the coming episodes, because I do want to show you guys what the menus look like. But until then, just fucking go find this. You can probably find it at a fucking thrift store for like 50 cents or like $2 now because of inflation, but go find the DVD. Just pop it in your whatever you have that accepts that currency nowadays. So back of the DVD, we'll read the little description. Why not? What wonders await you in Willy Wonka's factory? I suppose I should probably not put this in front of the mic directly. Explore fields of soft, minty sugar grass in the chocolate room. Sail along the chocolate river in a pink... I'm going to get closer to my mic, and I'm just going to do this, like, for ASMR. Experiment with everlasting gobstoppers in the inventing room. Observe talented squirrels in the nut room, and travel to the television room by a glass elevator. You'll find a lot that's funny, a little that's mysterious, and an adventure as sweet and satisfying as a Wonka Whipple Scrumptious Fudge Mellow Delight Bar. I got through that in one take. That fucking whatever the hell. Okay. This dazzling film, adapted by Roald Dahl's classic children's novel, directed by Tim Burton and starring Johnny Depp and Freddie Highmore, is your golden ticket to a world so inventive, so imaginative, you won't want to miss a delicious moment. Good shit, that is. Good shit. You don't get that level description on streaming services, okay? Fuck streaming services. Anyway, here's what we have for the bonus features. On this disc, you can watch Becoming an Oompa Loompa, how they turned one man into hundreds of Oompa Loompas. I watched that a lot when I was a kid. It's literally just showing behind the scenes. I remember very clearly watching it one time. I was in the car, in the back seat, and we had like one of those like DVD player things like mounted on the seat ahead of you. Anyway, I watched it through, and it's literally just, what's his name? I want to remember it without, it's like Guy something, I think, or he has like a cool first name from what I remember. Do I have Charlie and Chocolate Factory still pulled up? I don't. Let me look that up again. I can't remember the Oompa Loompa's name. What is it? Deep Roy, that's what his name is. Deep Roy, that's a cool ass name. Is he dead? No, he's not dead. He's only 65. He's doing good. He has a wife. She is smoking. Anyway, Deep Roy is cool. He, like, they did, like, a whole behind-the-scenes featurette of, like, him mocapping for, like, the Oompa Loompas. He wasn't mocapping, actually. They didn't mocap. None of it was CGI. There was hundreds of him on the screen at one time. Not CGI. He would record in one spot, like here. And say he's like doing like a little dancey dance. He's here, over here, dancey dance, over here, dancey dance, over here, dancey dance. And then they'd cut it all together. This man just got overworked, but he was the best part of this movie. I loved Deep Roy in this movie, but that's what that special feature is about. The Oompa Loompa dance, I'm assuming that's just him doing the dance, or it could be like an interactive thing, now that I think about it. Because a lot of DVDs back in the day had like little games you could play that were on like the bonus features. Like where you could like press a button and like dance. Like there was like controls. I don't know. That could be what that was. Then there's the theatrical trailer, but that's it. There's not much for bonus features on that. It's all Oompa Loompa related, which is fine. But yeah, great movie, great DVD. Like I said, like this is mine from when I was a kid. I'll never part ways. Let's just do some ASMR here. I know you can hear my blasting fan going, but let's just see if we can get the little... Oh, that's good shit. What about this? What about this? Let me see if I can satisfyingly... Oh, that's fucking mint. Look at that. That's a fucking... Oh, there's a couple little scratches, but that's pretty fucking mint. If I pop that into PS2, it'd still run. You know it. I wouldn't even have to toothbrush it or nothing. Anyway, great DVD. I was going to throw it. I would never. Let's go on to the main event of the evening. We are going to be talking about the SAG-AFTRA strike. This is no fun. I have a document here, which is linking directly to the SAG-AFTRA strike site. I'm going to just read through this, and we're going to talk about it. If you don't know what the SAG-AFTRA strike is, you're going to find out because I'm going to read their site. Here's the simple truth. We're up against a system where those in charge of multi-billion dollar conglomerates are rewarded for exploiting workers. Very true. The company is represented by the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers, AMPTP, which include Amazon/MGM, Apple, Disney, you get the idea. Are committed to prioritizing shareholders and Wall Street. Detailed below are some of the key issues of negotiation where things stand. We moved on some things, but from day one, they wouldn't meaningfully engage in most critical issues. So, actors and people involved in the film industry are pissed off because they don't care. They're not cared about. Big multi-billion dollar companies could not care less about their workers, and it's disgusting. It's going to ruin the movie industry if it doesn't change. So this is what they're asking. There's a couple things here. So we need an 11% general wage increase in year one so our members can recover from the record inflation during the previous contract term. So inflation's bad, people need to get paid more. Honestly, see, I'm kind of on the fence about this point. Money and actors. I don't know how much actors get paid. I know what a lot of their net worths are, though. I don't think they're going broke. I don't think they're going hungry anytime in their mansions. Actors are very well paid. Maybe not as well paid as they should be, but I digress. I'm not super in on this point entirely, but the AMPTP said the most we will give you is 5%, so suck it up. We'll give you some, we won't give you any more than that. So, performers need the protection of our images and performances to prevent replacement of human performances by artificial intelligence technology. So, we need rules set in place so that actors don't get replaced by robots. That's a scary thought, and it's something that's going to probably happen at some point. It's already kind of happening. Like, you look at, what's his name? Mark Hamill got de-aged for the Star Wars thing. I don't really watch Star Wars, but it's like a real thing. It's a thing where Mark Hamill got de-aged, and, like, you can just kind of do that. You can de-age people, you can make fake people, you can do Paul Walker. He's going to be in the next Fast and Furious movie, from what I'm told. If it can happen to people that are dead or are older now, it could easily happen to people that are still alive. Like, you can literally just, hey, you don't need to show up today. We're just going to do this scene without you and then do it digitally. Fun. Here's a comprehensive set of provisions to grant informed consent and fair competition when a digital replica is made or our performance is changed using AI. So based on what that says, I'm assuming they want actors to be aware of when their things are going to be done by AI. I don't know if I might have read that wrong. We want to be able to scan a background performer's image, pay them for a half a day's labor, and then use an individual's likeness for any purpose forever without their consent. This is what the AMPTP is saying. I don't know if they said this or if this is just paraphrasing, but fuck. If that's the point they're getting to, that is spooky. We also want to be able to make changes to principal performers' dialogue and even create new scenes without informed consent. And we want to be able to use someone's images, likeness, and performances to train new generative AI systems without consent or compensation. That's not good. If you're going to do things involving actors, you tell them about it, you inform them about it, you make sure they're okay with it, and you pay them for it because you're doing shit with them. They are human fucking beings. They are not characters in a video game that you can do whatever you want with. They're human beings. That's fucked up. It's fucked up that they're even trying to do that, especially with background performers. That's like a big thing that I've been on, like, I don't know what I'm talking about. I agree with the background performers thing. Like, it's not cool that they're trying to replace background performers, because a lot of people get their start in the industry as a background performer. Like, that's going to cut away a lot of potential openings. Like, they can't compensate for that. Like, acting's just going to die off if they can't get into the business like that. Like, there's no way that everybody can start off as, like, in some big movie and get noticed right away. Like, it's going to be harder for them. And it's just not cool. Like, hire people to do your fucking movies. Don't just put animation that looks like shit. Modern day CG is not very good. We've kind of downgraded over the years because we're trying too hard and we do too much of it. Marvel is the biggest one of this. I hate most Marvel movies nowadays simply because of how much CGI they use. It is fucking unreal. It is unbelievable. It is not fucking cool. I cannot stand it. Anyway, performers need qualified hair and makeup professionals as well as equipment to safely and effectively style a variety of hair texture styles and skin tones. I'm going to kind of skip over this one. It doesn't really affect me. It doesn't bother me. I don't see any issues with it. Performers need compensation to reflect the value we bring to the streamers who profit from our labor. Consider this comprehensive plan for actors to participate in streaming revenue, since the current business model has eroded our residuals income. That's a big thing too. I didn't know this until recently, but actors don't make shit from streaming. That is fucked. Aaron Paul from Breaking Bad, Jesse, hasn't made a cent off streaming of Breaking Bad. What? Like, how does that happen? How do they not make money off that? And the AMPTP responding to their comment about how actors should make money off streaming, they simply said no. AMPTP, just as a reminder, is the Alliance of Motion Picture and Television Producers. So Amazon, Apple, Disney, NBC, Netflix, Paramount, Sony, Warner. Like, what? How is it this bad? How are they such shitbags? They've been this bad. That's the worst part. We're just like, a lot of people, if they've dug into it, they would have known. But like, me as an average consumer, I didn't know how bad a lot of this stuff was. I assumed actors made money off fucking streaming. How do they not make money off of streaming? It's ridiculous. So the next one, all performers need support from our employers to keep our health and retirement funds sustainable. Contribution caps haven't been raised in 40 years, imperiling our pension and health plans. Pretty fucked up. Would you consider raising the caps to adjust for inflation and ensure that all performers, regardless of age or location, receive equal contributions? Here are some normal increases, nowhere near the level of inflation, that won't adequately fund your health plan. Also, background child performers under 14 years of age living in the West Coast zone don't deserve pension contributions, which is why we haven't paid them since 92. I don't know what the deal with that is. I don't know why they don't deserve it. There's probably regulations there. I don't know. I'd like it if they gave actors a bit more towards their pension and health plans. That'd be cool. They should. It's, if they haven't upped it in 40 years, like, fuck, man. Things are different. Like, life is not the same as it was 40 years ago. Principal performers need to be able to work during hiatus and not be held captive by employers. This is a big one. Like, you see actors who, like, do one thing. Like, Tom Holland does Spider-Man. Doesn't do shit for a while after Spider-Man movie comes out because it takes time to do things. Like, he can jump from from Spider-Man to another project once they're done Spider-Man, but he can't just do Spider-Man, do this. Like, they can't mix. These timelines we've proposed have helped series regulars by limiting the increasingly long breaks between seasons, giving them some certainty as to when they'll start work again or will be released. Take these select few improvements that will only help a select few. It's not giving me like anything here indicating what they're talking about, so I don't know for sure, but not cool. Principal performers need to be reimbursed for relocation expenses when they're employed away from home. I didn't know this wasn't a thing either. If somebody has to move for a movie, that's not covered. Like, they have to pay for that themselves. What? That is fucked up. I can't understand the logic there. Drop the ruse that series regulars are becoming residents of a new state or country when they go on location and adequately pay them for all of the relocation costs. Amen. Here's some stipends which don't realistically reflect the cost of relocating an out-of-state or out-of-country production. It doesn't list anything. So, this is following the questions and answers, essentially. We marched ahead because they intentionally dragged their feet. After we agreed to their compensated bargaining schedule, the AMPTP subjected us to repeated stonewalling and delays. It took more than 4 weeks of bargaining for the AMPTP to agree to simple basic issues of fairness and respect, such as access to reproductive health care and gender-affirming care for performers working away from home in states that restrict medical access. I don't understand exactly what that means. Reproductive health care? I don't know how affected people would be from that. I don't know. A consultation process to guard against racist and sexist wiggings and paint downs of stunt performers. That's a rough one. Because say you hire someone as a stunt performer and they're trying to stunt perform for like a black person, but they're white. You kind of got to blackface them in certain situations. Okay, here's an idea. CG them. Don't do that. Don't whiteface people. CG them, if that's the, like, a lot of these things are kind of blunt. Like, I can't always understand exactly what they're trying to say, but if they're trying to guard against racist and sexist wiggings and paint downs and such, that just leads me to believe that stunt performers are getting like painted up in like blackface. Not cool. CG them. Simple as fucking that. Safety for performers working with animals on set. I would imagine, I think that one's a bit of a stretch. I don't see how that wouldn't be a thing. Like, for animals to be on a set, there has to be professionals there that work with them. So I don't know if their safety would be impacted, but I don't know. Is this enough? We need transformative contracts yet remain far apart on the most critical issues that affect the very survival of our profession. Specifically, we need fair compensation that amounts for inflation, revenue sharing on top of residuals, protection from AI technology, and updates to our pension and health contribution caps, which haven't been changed in decades. This is why we are on strike. The AMPTP thinks we will relent, but the will of our membership has never been stronger. We have the resolve and unity needed to defend our rights. So that's basically it. It lists here more proposals and counters as of July 2023. It seems about the same as what I mentioned before. Yeah, there's a lot going on here. Some of it's different, but like I'm not going to get into all of it. It's like the more specifics than what I was already mentioning. There's a lot of it too. I'll link this in the description so that you guys can go check it out. But yeah. This SAG-AFTRA strike is serious, and honestly, it's terrible to see this happen. Like, this has happened before. Like, I'm pretty sure there was a strike in, I want to say, 2008. I mean, we usually bounce back from it. Like, normally, things go back to normal after a while, after the, you know, the big boys say, okay, fine, or, hey, we'll do this instead. It's shitty and insane the way production companies treat actors and workers. Like, you have so much money, but you can treat the people that work for you to bring in your money terribly. I guess that's just kind of how life is. There's a food chain. There's the top of the food chain, and then there's the people below them. The people at the top of the food chain don't care about the people below them. With production companies, same fucking thing. Here's a fucking camera, work monkey, dance monkey. Like, that's not cool. It shouldn't be like that. It should have never been like that, and it should change. Like, a lot of the demands requested here are completely reasonable. Like, I don't understand how the movie industry is so bad. I want to talk about CGI more, but I think I'll get to that a different day, because I fucking hate CGI. But what does this mean moving forward? Like I mentioned, I think things will go back to normal. I don't think there's going to be too much repercussion. I mean, I really hope there is an agreement made about the whole AI situation and CG. I want CG to be tamed down a lot in general, not just involving, like, using likenesses without consent. That's very not cool. But I think CGI as a total, like the amount that gets used, is also not cool. Will things change? I hope so. I honestly do. Things should be better. Like, I can't comprehend how bad things are. Like, it's so bizarre that this media, like, movies, Netflix, like, Amazon, like, all the big production companies of these things just get away with this stuff, and it flies right under the rug. That's why bringing attention to SAG-AFTRA and this whole strike is really good to do. Because it's a lot of stuff that I didn't even know. Like, I didn't do much preparation going into this episode on the strike. I just knew I wanted to talk about it because it's important. And there's a lot of actors going on this strike, and it's perfectly reasonable. So, for the sake of the movie industry, things should change. Anyway, folks, I believe that brings us to the end of the episode. I hope you did enjoy this episode. If you did, make sure to like this, share it, do whatever you have to do, tell somebody about it. Let me know in the comments of whatever you're on, whether it be a podcast platform, YouTube, you name it. Tell me what you thought. Tell me what I should talk about in the future. Tell me if you agree with all the points I made, or if you disagreed with all the points I made. I want to hear it. Tell me in the comments, or tell me on my Instagram at thisisdilly. Follow me on TikTok at thisisdilly as well. I just got my name back. I'm starting to post a bit more on there. Go to dillyapparel.ca. That's my new big thing. Well, one of my new big things. I have Final Cut merch. I have tons of cool designs like you're seeing right now on the screen. So go check those out for me, please. You'll love it. There's a lot of cool stuff going on dillyapparel.ca. I think that's all I really had to say. So once again, I hope you fellas and ladies... Hope you guys have enjoyed listening to the first episode of the Final Cut Podcast. I will see you all very soon, and thank you for watching. That's a wrap.